Open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 6. We'll be looking at the fifth seal this morning. And while you're doing that, let me just remind you and exhort you that in December, we are currently planning a Friday night outing at Mountaintop Youth Camp. That is for everybody here at the assembly. It will be Friday night and all of day Saturday. And not much has been said. We didn't know whether we were going to go on with it or not, but we need to make it known so that if you want to make plans to go, what we intend to do is we've had the facilities of Mountaintop offered to us. It's fully winterized. It's insulated and heated, and even the chapel and dining area has a fireplace, which is really nice. And what we intend to do is spend Friday night there. There are plenty of sleeping facilities. There are plenty of facilities for everybody here if everybody wanted to go. What we wanted to do was leave here sometime Friday, sometime around 6 o'clock in the evening, and get there. It takes an hour and 45 minutes. And get there around 9 o'clock, have refreshments and an evening plan Friday evening, get up Saturday morning and have breakfast together. We are supposed to have a men's breakfast, but we're going to incorporate it so that the men's breakfast will be in everybody's breakfast. And then what we'll have is a day's activities as well as something from the Word of God and also some testimonies and just a time of fellowship together. Have lunch, another time of activity in the afternoon, and then in the evening, sometime around 5 o'clock, have a steak dinner, which they provide, and then leave there at 6 to be home by 8 o'clock on Saturday evening. And so we hope that everybody will pray about it and that as many people would go that could go. It will cost you something to go. It will cost you $9 a person, but that includes your meals, three meals on Saturday, including a steak dinner. And also that's for the expense of the camp for the whole evening. So we hope you pray about it. And if you're not going, at least encourage others to go, because it'll be a time where we'll be able to spend some quality time fellowshipping together and challenge from the Word and testimonies and just get to know each other. Get away from Danville for a while. Remember that. Okay, in Revelation chapter 6, if you're not going to go, you could also donate the $9 and then I could eat your steak and your meals, because they do cook well up there. And we were offered the camp at $3 a piece, and then but then all the women would have to cook those meals. And we figured, why not have them cook for us and do the dishes for us and those kind of things? We can just enjoy ourselves. And $9 for three meals in a night, you can't find a place in town for even my own home. I can't spend, you know, $9 for three meals in a night. Revelation chapter 6, we're going to start by looking at verse 9. We'll read 9 through 17 just for the sake of clarity, but then we want to look at the fifth seal this morning in its entirety. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became blood, and the stars of the heaven fell onto the earth, even as a fig tree casts her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it was rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come. Who shall be able to stand? Tonight we gather together. We'll be looking at 1 Corinthians 16 as it closes how to know the will of God, because that is a portion in Paul's salutation, closing salutation, that he does. He closes by talking about the will of God. I just throw that out so you'll know where we are. Now, one of the things we need to do as we go through the book of Revelation is make our own time chart. By the time we finish the book of Revelation, which I hope to do by the end of next year, what we need to do as we go along is make our own time chart. Now, remember I told you that in a brief outline of this book, what's going to happen is the Apostle John is going to see things. Now, what happens isn't this. In Revelation chapter 6, seal 1 starts the beginning of the tribulation. We know that. But then what doesn't happen is an exact chronological order of the things that are going to happen. We need to get that out of our minds. Yes, the seals will lead to the trumps, which will lead to the vials, and they will happen in succession. But the events that will be described will be a repetition of the time period, because as we've already stated in the beginning, he will go through in chapter 6 and start with a social and moral breakdown. Then he'll go back to the same time period to do political breakdowns. Then he will go back and he will show that there will be then a religious breakdown. And there will be a destruction of every one of these areas of man's dealings. So that what we're going to do is try and pinpoint where are we right now and put it on a chart. And what we'll see is this, that the tribulation period will start, and that will be the beginning of the 70th week, which is a 7-year time period of 1 week. In other words, 1 week of sevens, which is 7 years. It will start in chapter 6, and then things will happen through that 7-year time period. Then there'll be a certain time period where it will go back and start all over again. Then it will go back, so that what we'll see is that as we pinpoint this chart, that it doesn't start here and go all the way through in verse 19, chapter 19, and then stop. This morning I was interesting as I was reviewing my notes just to make sure this was really what I felt Scripture was teaching. I went and got out Dispensational Truth by Larkin and flipped it open to see what he said about where these events fall in the 7-year period. And it's interesting. He only shades in at the bottom of his charts 70th week. He never tells you when exactly it happens. Matter of fact, he intimates that the midpoint, which is the 3.5 period, the mid-period between in the 70th week or the seven years, happens in chapter 12, which I feel is wrong, and I'll show you why this morning. In other words, he is saying that the great remember that day I put up, it's unfortunate you're not here every Sunday, some of you are, but not all of us. Remember when I put up the time chart on the overhead graph and we wrote it down? Remember we said now that in chapter 6 we're starting to look at a 7-year time period, which will end in chapter 19 with the setting up of the millennial kingdom? Now as you look at that and you think of that in your mind, it begins the beginning of the tribulation period, it ends the end of the tribulation period, and somewhere right in the middle we put a line that said the end of the 3.5-year period, the last 3.5 years is known as the Great Tribulation period. So that the whole period is known as the tribulation period, but from the break in the middle, that 3.5-year period, to the end, that time is so intense, it's called the Great Tribulation period. Okay, now we're going to say that because we're going to go back this morning and say, now when do these seals take place? And I think we're going to have a little bit of an eye-opener as we do look at that, because I did as I looked at it this week. I couldn't believe, you know, people say to me, how come you're spending so many Sundays on the seals? You've been on the seals now, and we've had this for 4 Sundays now, just doing these first 4 seals. But by the way, the first 4 seals take place over the first 3.5-year time period. The whole first 3.5-year time period take place in those first 4 seals we did. And we're going to see this. Seal 5 is right at the middle period. When the day of the abomination that Daniel spoke about, the breaking of the covenant that Daniel spoke about, and the beginning of the great tribulation period is going to start. And I think we can pinpoint that as we look at it this morning. Now, if you're confused, just stick with me. It'll clear itself up as we go on this morning. One of the things we need to realize as we go over these seals is this. Each seal has certain things in common. First is this, that the seal, the judgment originates from God's throne. God's in control. And the judgment comes from, so that the source is heavenly. But when it's worked out on earth, the players and the characters are human, the human agency. And we saw the last time that some of these seals overlap, like the first two. Seal two interrupts the first seal. In other words, there's peace, and then boom, right away there's an interruption, and there's a removal of that peace, and then there's famine, and then there's death. And what we found the last time as we looked at the fourth seal is that the fourth seal was the final horseman. Only the first four seals have a horseman. And we said the last time that we were together that horses are used to show God's intervention in human history. So that the first four seals have to do with intervention in human history, God's judgment. And then the fifth one is going to be the response of the saints to that judgment. And then the sixth seal is going to be a response on earth, that is a shaking of the earth. And then the seventh seal is going to be a quiet, silent period in the heavens because of the tremendous judgment that's going to then unfold at the end of this 3.5 or the beginning of the last 3.5 year time period. Now, you need to understand these things. You need to get an understanding of chronology, because when you do, you'll understand how perfectly the Word of God fits together. And that's what just thrills my heart. Now remember, seal number one was a false peace by a false Christ. In other words, the world's going to be looking for a man. The world's going to find a man. But because they rejected the true man of God, the Son of God, they're going to get a false Christ. They don't want the real Christ, they get a false Christ. Right in the middle of this peace being set up, the second seal is open, and we find war, and then we find famine, and then in the third seal, and then we found in the fourth seal pestilence. So that it does nothing but get worse. And by the way, every seal gets progressively worse. First there's a false peace, then there's a removal of that, and then there's a killing of each other. Remember the Machaira dagger, they're going to assassinate each other. It's going to be on a worldwide scale. And then there's going to be, because of that, famine. But it just gets worse and worse. Let me show you how it is. In the fourth seal, it gets progressively worse, and we didn't go over this, so this would be good by way of not only review, but instruction. But in the fourth seal, it gets progressively worse because the fourth seal contains aspects of all the other seals. In other words, it gets intensively worse because the fourth seal contains parts of the other one. Let me show you. Look at verse 7. It says, "And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, 'Go and see.' And I looked, and behold, a pale horse," and we said the last time that that is a leprous, ashen-colored horse, "and his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed him." So there we have Death. That's the second seal. "And power was given unto him over a fourth of the earth." So here's a fourth of the earth that's going to die. "To kill with a sword," that's Death. And here, watch this now, the third seal, hunger. So the aspects of the second and third seal are there, "and with death with the beasts of the earth," it says. And so what we find is this, the other seals are incorporated in the fourth seal, and it's almost like each seal gets progressively worse because it not only brings in a new aspect, but it also brings in a combination of the previous ones to where when the fourth seal breaks loose, we've got it really flowing and judgment is coming in a very intense way on the earth. And that's exactly what we said happened in Matthew chapter 24 in the Olivet Discourse. We find that there are false Christs that come, then there will be death and pestilence and famine, and it all takes place in the same exact manner, the same pattern. Then we find in the fifth seal, and it says in verse 9, "When he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God." And I believe that the fifth seal starts at the time of the abomination of desolation. So that seals 1, 2, 3, and 4 take place in the first 3.5 years. And then just before the first 3.5 years start, just before the abomination, what we're going to see is this, that the fifth seal will open. And I'll show you why. The progression is this: false peace, death, famine, pestilence, and then the fifth seal is what? Persecution of the saints. Now, keep your finger here and look at Matthew's Gospel again, chapter 24. Now, it has to harmonize with the Olivet Discourse. Otherwise, we have a problem with the Scriptures. In Matthew chapter 24, we said we would be bouncing back in the book of Revelation between here and Daniel chapter 9, because that's what's going to take place. All three are concerning the same time. Verse 4 of Matthew chapter 24. Then Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Remember we said, first seal starts out with what? Deception. False Christ. Here I am. They think he's the real Christ. So, seal number 1, verse 4. Take heed that no one deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and they shall deceive many. There's your first seal. Deception. False Christ. Then you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must yet come to pass. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And here we have the second seal. The second seal was peace removed, warring. Then the third one we said was famine, and the fourth one was pestilence. And watch what happens now. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes. And all these are the beginnings of the sorrows, the pains, the birth pains, literally. That's what literally what the Greek says there. These are just the beginning of the birth pains. And I believe that that is talking about the first 3.5 year time period. So that the first four seals and Matthew 24 verses 4 through 8 are the beginning, which is the first 3.5 year time period. Watch what verse 9 says then. Then, circle the word then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted. Then they should kill you. Then they will be, you will be hated for the nations. Then many will be offended. Then there will be false prophets. Then iniquity will abound and many will love the wax cold. And but he that shall endure to the end shall be saved. And this in the gospel of the kingdom will be preached. And then the nation, the abomination of Daniel. You see what happens? So that what we see is, in Revelation, the first four seals take place in accordance with what the Lord said in Matthew chapter 4 verses, Matthew 24 verses 4 through 8, so that that time period is one that starts off good and gets to a place where it starts to get worse and worse and worse and worse. And the key that takes place just prior to the abomination that's going to take place right in the middle of that 3.5 year time period is that it will turn to, the fifth seal will break, and that will be persecution of God's people. So that look back at Revelation chapter 6. In Revelation chapter 6, the fifth seal will open up then. If we were to draw a line, which we'll do, I promise you we'll do this, and we'll put on an acetate, so when we're on there, we'll put it up there, we'll write it on there, we'll know where it is, and when we get done, we'll have our own little chart. What would we see is this. On our time chart, we would have, at the beginning, a straight line marking off the beginning of the tribulation period. That would start Revelation chapter 6, and then in the middle of it, directly in the middle, we would have that 3.5 year time period. At the top, the bottom, you could write 3.5 years. At the top, you could put abomination of desolation spoken of Daniel, the breaking of the covenant that Daniel 9 spoke about in verse 27 or 29. And then between that first, that middle portion and the first portion, you would have the first four seals with the breaking of the fifth seal aligned just previous to that middle portion. So that the last thing that will take place just before the abomination is that there will be an intense turning on the people of God Israel into persecution. And I think it'll be borne out too, because when they're crying out, how long, O God, how long before you take vengeance, he says to them, we'll see this morning, you sit still, you just rest, because there are others who are going to die. When? From the 3.5 year time period to the end, and you've got to wait for them to die before I'll come back and make justice. And so it all works out in the interpreting of the book of Revelation. And I think it'll just unfold the book for you as you start to see these events. And what we'll see is this. As we study the persecution of the saints here and the souls that are under the altar, you'll go back through and you'll see when the rest of them will die, and every now and then he'll come back to the same cry, and he'll come back to the same cry, and it'll be a frame of reference for us. Now, with that in mind, if you're confused, just stay there, because it'll unconfuse as we go. Look at Revelation chapter 6, and let's look at the fifth seal and see if it doesn't bear out testimony and witness that it's true. Now, in the fifth seal, there's an outbreak of persecution. We saw that in Matthew chapter 24, verses 8 and 9. The first thing we need to do is look at the martyrs themselves. In verse 9, it says, when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony that they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that are dwelling still now on the earth? And you need to notice that, because the dwelling is present tense. They're still alive while the souls are crying out, because these are those people who are alive in the tribulation period who have slain these souls. And the word souls just is a metaphor for a living, is for a person, for a being. In other words, the scripture will say Abraham had 70 souls in his household, and it just means people. So that what we see is this, the fact that it says, how long will you go before you avenge those that are still dwelling on the earth who killed us? We know this, that this was during the 7-year period, and we know that it was in the first 3.5 years, and that the people that are on the earth who slayed them are still alive. And notice this too. The question isn't, are you? That's not an issue, because we know that God will avenge them. Their question is, oh, how long before you do it? How long are you going to put up with this? And we can relate to that, can't we? Have you ever asked the Lord, Lord, how long? You see, we know that God is holy, and we know that God is righteous, and we know that God will do what is right, and we know that people that do wrong have to be judged. The question isn't, will you? The question is, how long? See, this has been the question down through the ages, and this has been their question. Their question is this, how long? How long? That's their question. Look with me for a second. This is the cry in the psalmist of the psalmist. Look at Psalm 13 for a second. Psalm 13 is, by the way, the cry, how long? If you get your concordance and look it up, you'll find it all the way through the Old Testament. That's been the cry of Israel down through the years. The righteous of God have always been persecuted. And one of the things that they've always cried out is, Lord, how long? You know, the old black preacher said, it's Friday, but Sunday's a coming. It's payday one day. By the way, it is. But because there's a delay, people think they can play games with God. Christians do it as far as service. Christians do it as far as their lives. We think that because, well, we've got tomorrow, we delay, we live in sin, we don't obey. People don't accept Christ because they always say, well, I've got tomorrow. The suffering are always yelling, how long, how long, how long? And here we see in Psalm 13, David saying the same thing. He's being persecuted. His own son is after him. His own son wants his crown. He's being persecuted by the enemy. And look what verse 1 says. How long will you forget me, O Lord? O Lord, forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed against him. And those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy, and my heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. This psalm is the sigh of the change of a condition of the heart. It goes from sighing to singing. But it starts out with a fourfold, how long? How long? How? And we can all relate to that. Lord, how long? How long? How long? And you see, that's one of the dangers today. The danger today is people say, well, demand of God and he'll give it to you right now. That's never been the answer. That's never been the answer. The answer is that we as believers are willing to trust in the Lord and follow him no matter how long. It was true of the Lord, wasn't it? He shall see of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. There's always the time period. But listen, we have such a good God that he allows us to cry out, how long? And he does to David. Notice what he does. This is interesting. You can divide this psalm up into three parts. The first one is his complaint. There was an apparent delay, and because of the apparent delay, he says this. How long? How long? How long? You're delaying, Lord.